with that in mind, could you find our text for today? We've got a few verses in Romans and one in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you could first of all find Romans chapter 12, and we will read verses 6 through 10, and then finally we'll read that one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. And if you're able to stand, would you do so in the honor of God? We stand in His presence and listen to the Word as I read it aloud for you. Romans 12, verses 6 through 10. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And then if you could please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've got one verse there, and that is verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, it reads, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Amen. Yes. Our Father, we bow now before you and seek you, seek your face, seek your help as we endeavor now to understand what you mean by what you say. And then, Lord, help us understand how it applies to our lives, and then grant us the grace to order our lives accordingly. We thank you, yes, Lord, that we not only know you, but we can trust you, yes, to finish and complete the work that you have begun in us. And for this, we give you thanks. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. I want to, I thought it'd be good for us just to kind of rehearse briefly where the ground we've traversed over these past 7 weeks or so. All right. If you remember, we started the first couple of weeks looking at common grace, because that's the grace that's available to everybody. Everybody is a recipient of God's common grace. In other words, everybody receives of God's goodness, right? The just and the unjust. He sends His rain and He sends food. And to those who are thankful and to those who are unthankful, God still feeds them. He still gives them not only needs, God gives many pleasures to ungrateful, unfaithful, unsaved people. All right? So common grace. And we use Wayne Grudem's definition of common grace. It's the grace of God by which He gives people innumerable blessings that are not a part of salvation. And then we moved on to look at what theologians call special grace, or I call it saving grace here. And so special grace or saving grace is reserved not for the unbeliever. It's reserved for the elect. It's for those who are God's special people, right? And it's reserved for Him to give them special blessings, which includes salvation, sanctification, the myriad of things that He does for us while we're here on this earth. But we learned, as you look at Ephesians chapter 2, that every individual is born dead. Every infant comes into this world spiritually dead. Ephesians 2, right?
Yes, sir.
And so there's nobody born a Christian. There's nobody that has always been a Christian. You were born spiritually dead, just like every other human being that's ever come into the world, okay, other than Adam and Eve. Everybody after Adam was born spiritually dead. And the grace, and that's what Ephesians 2 says,
yes,
but grace God saved us not because we warranted it.
Yeah.
There wasn't something good in this one and not good in that one. There wasn't something special about this one and not special about this one. God, by grace, looks out and says, I'm going to save this one. And he skips over maybe men in your own family. There's nothing special about you. That's grace.
Amen.
That's the reason we're faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thankful that he didn't pass me by.
All right. Uh-huh.
Because in many cases, I was worse than others.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. There's nothing to boast about. It's not of works. It's not of your accomplishments. It's not because you went to college. It's not because you got this degree. It's not because you live so clean and you pay your taxes. No. Grace.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? Special grace. And then we looked at John 1, verses 16 and 17 to see that Jesus was the full and complete revelation of grace.
Yes.
A law came, there was grace in law. God was merciful to men. Everybody in the Old Testament was saved the same way that folk that you and I are.
Amen.
Everybody that's ever been saved was saved by grace. There was nothing meritorious about them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because everybody was a sinner.
Yeah.
All right? And so, but Jesus was the full expression of grace. And he came, how the Bible says, full of grace and truth.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when we see him, we see all that God intended for us to understand about grace.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at him move and function among people, that's the way grace functions.
Yes.
Right? And then we saw that the grace of God sets the believer free from slavery to sin, and then restrains that believer from going back to that lifestyle of spiritual death.
Amen.
We saw that in Romans 5, right?
Uh-huh.
In the end of Romans 5, right into the early verses of Romans 6. You see that the person that's spiritually dead cannot break free, because the slavery of sin is too powerful.
Yeah,
you can't break free on your own. It wasn't your decision. It wasn't the cards you sound. It wasn't you bowing your head and saying the sinner's prayer. No! God saved, not your prayer.
Uh-huh.
God saved, not your signature on the card. God saved. And it's by grace.
Amen. Uh-huh.
Faith in Christ alone.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing you did. Jesus said it this way to Nicodemus.
Uh-huh.
You can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even see your need to be saved, Nicodemus, until you what? You've been born again. So the Spirit of God comes and he gives you a new. He comes inside you and he makes you new. And then you say, "Oh my, I'm a wretch. I'm messed up. I am just as lost as I can be. Lord, save me.
Yeah.
I need Jesus."
Yeah.
And then God says, "I'm going to give you faith."
Well, yeah, come on, brother.
He willing. His faith enough not only to get you saved, but to keep you saved.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ain't going to be flopping back and forth wondering, did I do it? When I save you, you know I saved you.
Uh-huh.
Amen. When you've been born again, you can't be unborn.
Well.
So, you see, the one that's spiritually dead can't break free and come to spiritual life on their own. But the one that's been brought into spiritual life cannot go back. See, Satan and sin is too strong for the sinner to break free. But hallelujah, God, the power of the Spirit is too strong once you've been set free for you to go back.
Uh-huh. Thank God for that,
brother.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
In order for you to go back, somebody's got to be stronger than God.
Come on, brother.
Who would that be?
Right?
Jesus said that you in my Father's hand. Yeah, you in the Father's hand. No one can what? Pluck you, snatch you out of what? The Father's hand.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see that one. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I'm being sarcastic. It's just, it won't happen.
Won't happen, brother.
Won't happen.
Rhetorical question, yes, sir.
So, you with me? Okay. And so, we saw that about grace in Romans 5. And then, last week, in 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18, we saw that God plans for the Christian to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You were not saved to stay as you are.
Mm-hmm.
You were not saved to make excuses. You were not saved to keep blaming people.
Amen.
Keep blaming the church.
Mm-hmm.
Keep blaming. You see, you weren't saved to keep hopping around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to find where are you going to find the right, the perfect church? Where is it? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go to your house. Is there a perfect person in your house?
No.
What'd you say?
No.
Well, then when you go to that church, what happens?
We messed up.
I mean, even if it, I mean, it's not a real or something. Even if the church was fine, once you go there, what? But the reality is, there's a whole bunch of folks there, just like you and me.
Right.
And so there's no perfection.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are what it is. Grace says to all of us,
mm-hmm.
all of you are equal.
Uh-huh.
Stop. How did Paul had to write to the church of Corinth?
Mm-hmm.
Stop comparing yourselves with yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Stop thinking you're all right because you compare yourself with somebody else. If you want to make a comparison, compare yourself
come on,
with
brother. Yes, with Jesus.
If you compare yourself with Jesus, you won't be running around here mm-hmm. thinking you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
We all need to grow.
Yes.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2 Peter gives us the motivation to do it, that we got reasons to grow. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't you want to know more about him?
Yeah.
Oh, he's the Lord. He's the master. He's the healer. He's your peace, your joy, your strength. And he's the bread of heaven.
Yeah.
He's the resurrection and the life. He's the door and the seat. He's all you need.
Yeah, right.
Why don't you want to know more about him?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and the last. You can't exhaust him.
Uh-huh.
The more you know, Jason Low Baxter says, getting to know God is like getting in a rowboat with a teacup and going out in the ocean and thinking you're going to do some damage to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Your cup will be full, and when you get your cup full, you won't. Nobody knows the difference. Huh? My cup runs over. Everybody's cup runs over. That's more than enough.
Yeah.
To cover all of God, to make it to multitude of saints.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
That good?
Yes, it is.
So we need to grow. We need to grow. All right. I didn't mean to spend that much time on this. The gospel life.
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
This is living. This is it. And it's all by what?
Grace.
So that's the reason we're doing this series on grace. So that's the past 7 weeks, and today, as we look at these verses, I kind of structured my thinking this way. In the Romans text, Romans 12, 6 through 10, we're going to look at what I call gifts of grace. Now, for many of you, because you've been with me a number of years, you've seen these gifts, and so I'm not looking at these gifts in detail.
Okay.
Right? For others who want to know more, you can go to the website, you can listen to the sermons there. But we're looking at them
mm-hmm.
from the perspective of grace, to see them as gifts of grace, not to try to, you know, get into all the intricate details like we've done in the past. So we're going to look at the gifts of grace, and then finally in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, we're going to look at what I call the power of grace. All right? We get it?
Amen.
So we'll move to that and hopefully find the mind of God in it and see what we can learn for ourselves today. All right, let's go. So as we look at the gifts of grace, if you go back to Romans 12 now, and let's begin with verse 6. I ordered verses 6 through 8 this way. The gifts, you see, you and I have two basic areas of need, okay? Spiritual and physical, okay? A spiritual and practical, whichever way you want to see it. And so God, obviously, when he gives gifts, they're designed to what? Meet both areas of need. And so even though I divided them up this way, don't get wrangled by it. It's just a way of thinking, okay? So let's look at the gifts that meet what I call spiritual needs first. So you got verse 6. The first one we run into there is prophecy. And I've defined prophecy for you. It's the immediate inspiration from the Holy Spirit to speak truth from God in order to edify, exhort, and comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You look at verse 6. Having gifts differ according to the grace given to them, let us then use them if prophecy in proportion to our faith. So prophecy is a mighty work of the Spirit, where he, in an unplanned and and an unexpected way brings to some member in the congregation this word from God, okay? And the person with this gift is accustomed to being a conduit for God. You don't know when it's going to happen. You just know that you're so compelled, you need to speak up. Now, I'm not talking about foolish, fleshly, you know, that kind of thing. And here's the danger about it. You see, it says that you do it in proportion to your faith.
Amen.
If you're not sure it's from God, keep your mouth closed. Because you're going to have to give an account for every word that proceeds from your mouth.
Okay.
And if you're claiming it's from God, you're going to have to give an account for it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Whatever is not of faith is what? Sin? We good?
Amen.
And so the Spirit of God works this way, and there are people in the body that have this gift. And we need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to hear from God.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, we study the Bible, and, you know, those are all means, but there are times in a specific situation God has a specific word, and he uses a specific person to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we thank him for it. And it's designed to edify, to exhort and encourage. You get a little sense of that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Paul says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And then I listed out a couple of verses down near the middle of 1 Corinthians 14. You see verse 24 and 25? He's beginning now to talk about the difference between speaking in tongues and prophecy. And he says that here's the benefit of a person who prophesies, okay? He says, verse 24, if all prophesy, in other words, if everybody in the congregation is speaking in a language that everybody understands, including, as he's going to show you here, somebody who's visiting the church, an outsider, and in this particular case, a person that's unsaved. Look at what it says about it. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you.
Amen.
And so, you see, that's what he was trying to get the Corinthian church to see. Stop trying to impress each other and impress folks and impress. This is not impressed. They come in, what is all this foolishness going on?
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on, neither do you.
Well, yeah.
But see, if you're speaking the visitor or visitors or whoever can understand, they can receive that.
Yeah.
And their hearts are convicted because I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
And so that's the reason you need to make sure that it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's from God, he's got somebody.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear it.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Mm.
And whatever the ramifications, you got to be willing to take.
Amen.
Right? Because ministry is called for us to be popular.
Well,
right? Yeah? All right.
Go ahead.
And so then, so this deals with the heart, the seat of our emotions and our resolve and our will. That's what, so. When you get saved, you get saved from the heart. If you confess with your mouth, what Jesus says, Lord, and believe what
in your heart.
It's down where you make that resolve that this is true. I believe that Jesus is God, that He was killed, and that He rose from the dead, and that He can save. It's not, you know, people point to this thing, they point to pump blood. It's the seat, it's the center of us.
Yeah.
Your emotions and your resolve. All right? Spent too much time. Teaching is the next one. A quick definition. Teaching is the supernatural ability to interpret, explain, and make application of the scriptures. Teaching primarily deals with the mind and the intellect. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
God gave us these minds, and He uses His word to challenge you in your mind, right? Isaiah, come let us what?
Reason
again.
Yes.
Coming to Christ is reasonable.
Yes.
Except unless you are, you know, you are so determined that you, but how did Jesus say, men won't come to me because they love what? Darkness.
Yeah.
Love that doctrine. Love that sin.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're willing to give it up, and the Spirit of God has to work that, you'll see that God will reason with you.
Yes, He will.
And your sins will be washed white as snow.
Yeah.
Right?
It's good news.
Yeah, it is good news.
Yes, sir.
I won't turn to all these verses, but you remember Jesus was on the road to Emmaus there, and the disciples were going, and it said that He opened up the scriptures to them.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's right.
Their minds laid hold of it, and you know the old King James Version that I used to be so fond of. Mind did not what? Heart was
burned.
As he opened up that word to us. God engages our minds.
Uh-huh.
Have you done that since I just read it? It's like, this is, you ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
I read this before, but it's not like today.
Yeah.
This is good. I need this today.
Yeah.
God is speaking to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm not reading this and thinking about Tiffany.
Yeah.
You know how we do that? Oh, I don't need Tiffany to hear this. No. I need it. God engages me. These are gifts that meet our spiritual needs. Then exhortation is a supernatural ability to motivate people to obey God.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that gift in the body of Christ,
mm-hmm,
to motivate people when laziness is set in, or when sin has set in,
mm-hmm,
and people need to be exhorted.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be of the Spirit.
Yeah,
flesh can't pull us off.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how effective you are on your job.
Uh-huh.
That's the reason you don't come into the church bringing your accomplishments from in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
Jesus did not have one Sadducee, a Pharisee, there were some converted later on, but you remember the original group?
Mm-hmm.
They were all unlearned.
Yeah.
What? Uneducated. Because you can't come to Christ. You know, I mean, he's got nothing against education and wealth and all that, okay? But that's over here, over in the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Those aren't the factors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he'll use it. He'll use your education. He'll use your wealth. I mean, God saved plenty of wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, Nicodemus was wealthy. I mean, you just go down to Joseph of Arimathea. Abraham was rich.
Amen.
Job was a for real rich man.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we need this exhortation, and it deals with the heart. There's a verse, 2 Corinthians 5:20. I think we looked at this during prayer time, if you remember. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal.
Yeah.
That's our word right there, parakaleo.
Uh-huh.
Parakaleo in the Greek. And it means to come alongside.
Uh-huh.
You see, you appeal with somebody by coming along beside them. You're not yelling at them. You're not using the Bible to beat them over the head. You're appealing.
Amen.
See, that's exhortation. You know how to get people to move. Okay. And so that's exhortation. And it reaches the heart.
Mm.
That gift reaches the heart. And then the last one, I included leading in the gifts that meet spiritual needs. But you recognize that leading meets both kinds of needs, right? It means you need leadership to meet spiritual needs. You need leadership to meet practical needs. Somebody needs to organize things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have work days or whatever, you know, or to get food to people. But so even though I included leadership here, you understand. It's just the first group we're looking at. So the gift of leading is the supernatural ability to oversee, to rule, or manage matters in the church. And you remember in 1 Timothy 3, God said absolutely, positively, this is an absolute essential for anybody that's going to be a pastor,
mm-hmm,
or elder, or whatever terminology you want to use there, or a synonym, right? If you can't manage your own household, right? That's the word we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't manage your own household, or rule, or lead your own household, how then could you possibly lead the people of God?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this, we need this gift to ensure that people's spiritual and again practical needs get met. Now there are many others, but I only spent the time developing those up right here in Romans 12. Right? You look at 1 Corinthians 12, and I believe it's Ephesians 4. You get all these other gifts. You get many other gifts that meet spiritual needs. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians, you get these gifts of men, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors and teachers, evangelists, that kind of thing. So the intent here is not to be exhaustive. I just want you to get the flavor. Mm-hmm. God gives these gifts to meet spiritual needs. Then the other area is physical needs or practical needs. Gifts of grace are intended to likewise meet practical needs. You go back to, you're back in Romans 12. You see verse 7, the very first phrase in verse 7. If service in our serving. So the gift of service is, by the way, a synonym for service is ministry. And I really hope you lay hold of this. People have a tendency to think of the word ministry as some, I don't know. It's ambivalent, or it's this vague thing. You know, this is my ministry, and whatever it is, it's this strange thing. Ministry simply means service. Mm-hmm. This is the way I serve, right? So when you think of quote ministry, you should be thinking. You say, well, what's my ministry in the church? Find something you can serve. Somewhere you can serve.
Amen.
That's what ministry is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what is your role, and how do you provide service? So this gift of service is a supernatural concern and ability to meet the practical needs of others in a special way. Real quick, there's a verse over in 1 Timothy 4. You can turn there real quick if I can find it. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 11. I'm sorry, no, what did I say? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11. Paul says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. See that? That's the word, diakoneo. That's the word. So, now I don't know what your version says. Yours might say service, but they're synonyms. That's the gift of service. The other gift, going back to Romans 5, is you see verse 8, after the one who exhorts in his exhortation, then the next phrase, the one who contributes in generosity, or yours might say the one who gives, that's the gift of giving, right? So then the gift of giving or contributing is a supernatural ability to sacrificially impart of oneself and possessions to others in need. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, let the thief steal no more. But the Bible is like, here's what you need to always remember if you're giving somebody counsel. The Bible never says stop doing something wrong without what telling you what it is to do.
Right.
Amen.
Right? You see, you haven't done a person a service by simply saying, stop doing that. You need, if this is wrong, then tell them what? If it's a wrong thing, it's got to be all right.
Amen. Amen.
So in Ephesians 4, Paul says, let the thief no longer steal. Stop stealing, but then let him what? What would you do? Huh?
Work.
Go to work. Now, listen to this. Now, this is the reason Paul said that you need to work, so that you have something to give to people.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Amen.
Not so you can go out and buy your HDTV, your 24-inch, low profiles, all that. That's all good. But the fact is, you need to remember that God always has other people in mind when he's giving you money. You have to think of the interests of what it's looking to. Think of the interests of others more important than yourself.
Yes, sir.
Now you tell me that you got that down. That's challenging for all of us. But that's the standard for the Christian. Okay? So that's the gift. The gift is that, let's see, And the normal word that you see for giving in the Greek would be didomai. But this word is metadidomi. And so meta means with.
Mm-hmm.
So it means to give with. You give to help someone.
Uh-huh.
You see, it's not just shotgun, throwing money at things. Mm-hmm. But you got a specific situation. I'm sharing. You see, sometimes translated, so you have something to share.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sharing it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, I was planning to kind of skim through these, but I had the sense that we need to talk about it a few minutes. Okay, so I hope you're all good with that.
Amen.
Then the in verse 8, you see the end of verse 8? He says, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy, then, is a supernatural ability to discern when someone is in misery and provide comfort. And you get an example in Acts 20. Paul talks about the need in the believer's life to help those who are weak.
Mm-hmm.
So remember what Jesus said, it's more what? Blessed to
give
than to receive. Right? So that's the gift of mercy. And again, there are many others. As you read 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gift of faith, the gift of healing, miracles and health. All of these things these gifts meet practical needs.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be healed, right? I mean, people need miracles. Don't you need them? Absolutely.
Amen.
We need miracles. You can't go with all this popular gobbledygook about, you just name and claim something that's going to happen. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God discerning something real in your life where you're in a situation where
mm-hmm.
you need a miracle from God to solve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mary say the angel? I mean, the angel told Mary when she was so perplexed about how God can pull this off. She said, "What is anything but
too hard to
God?"
Mark.
Yeah. And the answer is no. So God still works miracles. He still works miracles. Now, as we leave that, here's what I want to say. Gifts of grace ensure that the needs of grace are met through people who are saved and kept by grace. It's all of grace.
Mm-hmm.
We got needs of grace, and the gifts of grace, which meets those needs, but those gifts are exercised through people who've been saved
mm-hmm.
by grace,
mm-hmm.
and people who are being kept right now by grace. It's all of mm-hmm. grace, right? My God shall supply what? All your needs. All right. You're very patient. Let's look at the last one real quick. It's what I call the power of grace. Can you go quickly over to 1 Corinthians 15? And this great chapter that deals with the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers. We start out by looking at what I call victorious power over sinful memory. And I know this may not... this may be the first time this is the first time I really saw it this way, okay? So bear with me and let's see if we can unpack this together.
Amen.
In the first sentence here, I see that grace gives us victorious power over sinful memories. You got 1 Corinthians 15?
Yes.
Look at how it starts. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. Now, Paul's memories of his past sin caused him great humility, okay? And if you're honest, you're the same way.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it. Mm-hmm. All of us have done things that we don't talk to people about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We just don't bring it up. Because it's shameful. And that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Now, the Bible says that even there's some things that shouldn't even be mentioned in church.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so that's not mean that doesn't mean that you're trying to hide something. It's just that God has forgiven me. It's between me and Him. It's not going to benefit this conversation or this situation in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul was open mm-hmm. and candid about things that he knew would help other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen.
He said, "I was a persecutor of the church."
Mm-hmm.
Me. I'm the reason that many people not only got in prison, I'm the cause of Christians being killed.
Yeah.
Me.
Mm.
I did it. And now I'm one of them.
Mm.
But I can't those memories haven't just gone away.
Uh-huh.
They're still there.
Yeah.
And it's benefit, and if you learn how to handle those memories when they come up, they're a benefit. They'll mm-hmm. keep you humble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you get, you know what I mean? When you start getting a little bit beside yourself with success, those memories will keep you humble. Paul then, you see verse 9? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 9. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." See? He calls himself least and unworthy. And then over in 1 Timothy 1, 13, he uses words like, "I'm a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent opponent." Listen to that. Because he's not trying to sugarcoat and cover over. He knows he was an awful sinner.
Yeah.
And that's what he eventually says. He says that Christ came in the same sentence. I'm the worst.
Yeah.
I'm the foremost of all.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you stop trying to, sweeten your deal and make you not so bad. You realize I was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be saved bad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just because I didn't do what some of my friends did or some of my relatives did, that doesn't mean that I wasn't in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
I was in bad shape.
Amen. Amen.
And not only that, I did some awful things.
Yeah.
Some of them, the consequences are alive and well today.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's the reason. That's brave. That's the reason you got to get this. That's the reason you love. To him who's been forgiven much, you what? You love much.
Yeah.
Stop trying to hide it. If you are real about it, you learn to love God more.
Yeah.
Because you realize how much he forgave you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bless the Lord.
But you see, Paul knew that even with all of that awful wickedness that he did, that by grace and faith in Jesus Christ, his sins will forgive.
Yes.
Brother and sister, this is it. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. You don't have to lie and deny and pretend that you this way. Like, no, be real.
Uh-huh.
Because it's all covered.
Yeah. Amen.
When Jesus said it's finished, what?
It's finished.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
It's finished. It doesn't matter that Satan brings it up. It doesn't matter that folks, your homies and folks around you bring it up. Let them bring it up. That's finished.
All right. Yeah.
That's dead.
Yeah.
That's the, you know what we saw? Second Corinthians 5? That's the old me.
Uh-huh.
I'm a new creation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't denying the old me, but that ain't me no more.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That one is dead. Not only that, he's buried.
Uh-huh.
Right? We've been buried by baptism.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
So that as he does according to him, we might walk in what? Newness of life!
Yeah.
Come on!
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
So y'all keep talking about that dead stuff. And don't you? I got plenty of them. That's all they want to talk about when you go home with dead stuff. I have time to be entertaining that.
That's right.
You're still living dead. You've been living dead for 30 years.
Well,
and think that's cool and slick and, you know. You're telling me about how you cheat the system and, let me tell you how I faked them out and not pretend as I got hurt. No, that was craziness.
Uh-huh.
What are you telling me that for?
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be impressed with that?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, the we recognize this as believers. Look at this. Grace gives Jesus what we deserve. And grace gives us God's blessings in spite of our past sins. You see, this wonderful verse right here in 1 Timothy, Second Timothy. First Timothy 1:14. You see, in the midst of all this, look at verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. After him, remembering these awful things, he can say, but God gave me enough grace to cover
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, my sister, that's the deal.
Uh-huh.
Jesus paid it all.
All right.
All to him what?
Amen.
And then you got victorious power. Not only do you have victorious power over sinful memories, we have victorious power for ministry right now. So if you notice, look at the second sentence in verse 10. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So, the grace of God enables and empowers the believer to persevere in seemingly impossible situations. Now, I've been waiting to get to this. Believe it or not. I know I was actually excited about the whole thing, or thrilled. But I'm telling you, I want you to pay close attention now. I want you to see why grace is so important in our lives. Okay? We're just going to look at Paul gives us a little catalog of what he went through. Okay? Some of you have seen it before, right? You got, can you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. And we're going to get some insight into why this brother can tell us that he is what he is because of grace. Grace enabled him to work hard, okay? You got it? Verse 23. Paul, amazingly, the very church that Paul helped is now criticizing. They tell me he's not worthy. You're nothing. You can't speak good. You don't look good. You know, they're dogging out the very man that brought them the gospel for them to be saved.
Yes.
Okay. So don't be surprised when it flips over on you.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I don't have to go to Paul. Jesus says what? If they've done it, what? To me, you can count on it. They will do it to you.
Yes.
And so you got verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am better. I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked for a night and a day. I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. That brother went through some different right? And yet he said that the grace of God empowered him, even when these situations seemed impossible. Grace carried him through. I'm telling you, this is wonderful. Grace uniquely prepares the believer for the unique ministry to which God has called him, regardless of the level of difficulty. My grace is what?
It's sufficient.
Is that what God said? My grace is sufficient. And we can do all things through Christ.
Right?
And I know, you know, I thought about this myself. I know that there are times people have asked me how and why I keep on. Okay, you know, why do I work so hard? Why don't you slow down? Why do you persevere? Why do you endure hardships? Why do you endure rejection and slander and ungratefulness? Why keep going? Why do you endure the complaints and the misunderstandings? Right? You get it. It's because I too remember where I came from. I remember what used to come out of this mouth. I remember what these hands have done and where these feet have been. What these eyes have seen. And these ears have heard. I remember that. And I was working hard then. So why wouldn't I work hard over here? I was killing myself then. For the devil. Why wouldn't I work even harder for the Lord? What am I saving myself for? All of us need to think about that. What are you saving yourself for? If you want to be used, You cannot say, I want, Lord, you can get 60% of this. You put your hand on the plow, you got to be willing to what? Plow.
Right.
You can't run around talking about, you know, Lord, it's hot, it's cold, it's this, and you don't know. You said you want to plow.
Well,
so, plow. Now I'm being sarcastic, but come on, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
There's work to do.
Amen.
And here's the thing about it. You won't die one day sooner than God.
Amen.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Every one of us, our days are what?
No.
You can't add to it. No matter, it doesn't matter how many, you know, how many prescriptions and the doctor, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how many health programs you watch. I mean, it's all good. But I promise you, you ain't going to live one day longer than God has.
Yes, yes.
But you're also not going to die anytime soon. I wish I don't have time to tell you. I do. There was a 95-year-old man on Jay Leno. And I happened to see it yesterday because of the recording. Because occasionally have somebody in there. So I'm flipping over there, you know, thinking, well, why are you bringing up this old man? So I slowed it down and listened to it. This, they've written a book about him because he's the longest survivor at sea. He survived at sea for 45 days.
Mm.
And he told various stories. I mean, they saw a plane flying over because their bomber crashed, and so they were floating around on debris.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks, you know, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, at the end of that, he weighed 170 something. He weighed 65 pounds. Okay. But you know, they were looking for rescue, and they saw this plane flying over, and it looked like one of the United States planes. Mm-hmm. And so they flagged them down. The plane came down and landed in front of them and started shooting them.
Oh.
They're wide open. Mm-hmm. He said there were 45 bullets in the raft, not one of them hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just took you through the litany of the. They tried to break him. They took him into these Japanese camps. You know how torture is.
Mm-hmm.
He survived them all.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And oh, I gotta say, you know, I know this has been long, but listen, because I wonder, why did you keep leading up to this? And he said, well, how did you make it? He said, well, you know, I came back and I had this post, what do you call it,
post-traumatic
syndrome, and stress, whatever it's called. He said, every night I had those dreams, and my wife got converted.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
She told me one night, you need to go to these, one of these crusades. He's out, that person. So he went there once, and sounded like foolishness to him, but God got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
He went back the next night, God saved him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the day God saved me, I since that time I've had one of those dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I'm telling you. It didn't matter who was trying to kill him.
Yeah, come on, bro.
God had plans for
him. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't miss. I was afraid. You would be too.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? God, grace enables us to face some extremely difficult things. And so press on, my brother, my sister. Press on. When you're tired, press on. And I know you wonder, well, you skipped over two verses. And I did. And I got to go back to them because I know this is long today, but this I can't wrap up without these two verses. Can you go back to Romans 12 real quick? Does anybody know the two? Oh, you see, you remember the two verses I skipped over? And you probably wondered why I read them to begin with. I want you to see why. You remember these two verses? Let love be what? Genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another.
Mm-hmm.
And show
outdo.
Now, let me tell you something. You've been tracking me? We've looked at the baseball gear. We've looked at the players. We've looked at the coach. We looked at the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at all of that. Right? Got gifts and power and all that. We got all of the basic stuff. But it ain't going to happen without love.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Right? Remember what we talked about? talking about before. If you can have all these superstars on the baseball team. If they can't get along, if they can't function, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And I believe that's what the Spirit of God is communicating about. He comes right out of gifts, all these wonderful, great gifts, and it comes right to this, right?
Yes.
Let love be what? I'm being some real stuff, for real. That's what it is. And so, even though the gifts of grace ensure that the needs of God's people are met, and the power of grace ensure that we can do it, we cannot be effective without love.
Mm.
Right? Our love must be genuine. That word literally means no pretense.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fake it with people.
Amen.
If you got an issue with them, settle it.
Amen.
It needs to be for real. This is life-threatening circumstances that we're dealing with here. We don't want to be playing. This is not playing. We're not playing. Amen. This is not like a baseball game. You're dealing with people's lives. So we need to be for real, right? No pretense. He said that let it be holy, right? So stop trying to hang on to any bitterness or any of that kind of stuff, or don't stop doing things in the dark, thinking that it's not going to come out.
Right.
Just be real.
Mm-hmm.
Be real. Stop trying to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Brotherly affection. And this is the best definition I came up with. Brotherly affection. People need to really feel like they're in a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what brotherly affection is. It means fear. It means familiar. There needs to be that sense of family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, like the ESV says, outdo one another with honor.
Mm-hmm.
That basically means you need to lead the way in honoring people. In other words, you need to be the chiefest of all people.
Mm-hmm.
You say that other people are too proud, then you be humble. Show them what it means to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
They don't thank you, show them you thank them. If something is done for you in kindness, doesn't matter if they didn't thank you, you thank them.
Mm-hmm.
Lead the way in honor. We good?
Amen.
All right. Well, you've been patient. My brothers, my beloved brothers and sisters, this is truly the way that grace is to work its way out in ministry. Every believer has been given special abilities to meet the spiritual and physical needs of other people, and in particularly believers. Every believer has been given the power over the guilt of past sins and the power to persevere in ministry under any circumstances of life. Every believer should and every believer can fulfill their ministry in the love of Christ. Amen? And all of these blessings are because of the grace of God.
Yeah.
We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just simply God's favor.
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yes.
God has done it because of his goodness. Therefore, brother, sister, will you be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the labor and the work of God, knowing that your labor is not in vain. And if you're not a Christian, I'm privileged to announce to you today that your past sins can be forgiven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You can be set free from the slavery to sin that we talked about at the beginning.
Yes.
You can be set free today.
Yes.
Today. You can be set free from the guilt of sin. You can be set free from the shame of sin. You can be set free from the punishment of your past sins. It can happen today. But my friend, you must believe. You must believe. Father, thank you for your grace. Your grace that has been so freely given to us. Thank you for revealing the complete revelation of grace in your Son. And then, Lord, enlivening and enlightening our heart, that we might come to him by faith and be saved.
Yes.
And now we thank you that grace also enables us to know the victorious life, victory over our past sin, the memories that plague us, victory over the impossibilities in ministry. Your grace, Lord, has gifted us to fulfill everything you've assigned our hands to do. And so as we bow together here, those who know Christ say, thank you. for every means that you've made possible for us to fulfill our ministry until the day we come home to be with you.
Yes, Lord.
Now would you enable us to, as we meditate together, to think very carefully about our own lives and then make application in Jesus' name. Every saint of God said,
Amen.
God bless you.
Again, thank you for your patience. Let's bow together for a few.